Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts Live, broadcasting to you today from James Island, adjacent to Folly Beach in magnificently beautiful South Carolina shore, just right close to Charleston and one of the absolute prettiest places in America, which, by the way, has the oldest tree in North America that dates back to before the settlers first arrived from England in Jamestown, Virginia, in 1607. All right, today we've got a lot to talk about. I'm going to make a statement, and then I'm going to explain it to you. Statement is this: I am grateful for the presidency of Barack Hussein Obama. I'm grateful that he is our president. Let me explain to you why I say that. I think that having a progressive, which is really socialism, was something that has been on the burner here for quite a long period of time. And I think it was inevitable that this was going to happen. And I think that had we had someone who was a principled progressive, and there are many, many, we would be going far further down the road to socialism than we currently are. If we had someone who really was transparent instead of completely opaque, who would have their attorney general turn over documents to Congress that have been subpoenaed and say, you know what, let the chips fall where they may. If somebody has done something wrong, let them take the responsibility for it, rather than engaging in a cover-up that is more sinister than Watergate, where a U.S. agent has been murdered, Brian Kerry, and dozens of Mexican nationals have been murdered with those guns. There is blood on the hands of this administration, blood. And they won't come clean. If we had a principled progressive, it would be difficult to undo the damage that has been done. But as we're talking about this, throughout this program and how that's going to play out, I want to bring on our first guest. Hello, this is Jack Watts on Jack Watts Live.
Hello?
Yes.
Hey, is this the Jack Watts that wrote, "Hi, my name is Jack"?
Yes. This is Jack Watts, who wrote the memoir, "Hi, My Name is Jack," which actually, now that you brought that up, and we digress a little bit from the political thing, which is never hard for me to do when we talk about me, it won the Best Inspirational Memoir of 2011, given that prestigious honor by Books and Authors, which, frankly, I didn't even know I was up for it, but definitely grateful for it. Have you read that book?
Well, not only did I read it, Mr. Watts, but it's had a dramatic effect on my life, and I'm pleased to say it's been very positive for me, and I'm also pleased to say that Christ is more in my life now than it was before, and it was all due to your book. I'm a little emotional right now because it's been very difficult for me in my life, but it was an awesome book. anybody that's listening should be buying this book because it could change your life also. Well, Mr. Watson.
Well, thank you so much for that. Unsolicited, I might add, comment.
Well, you give credit where credit is due. That's the way I was brought up by my mother and father. I would also like to talk a little bit with you about the president pardoning all of these illegal aliens' children that have been here. Now, I personally think that this was nothing more than a political ploy on his part. But let me ask you a question, Mr. Watts. Since these people are here illegally, would you say that if somebody robbed a bank and then they gave the money to the children, are the children allowed to keep that money? Because it seems to me it's on that same level. He's done something that is unprecedented, pardon the pun, unprecedented, and it disturbs me greatly.
You know, I remember at the beginning of novels, a lot of times there's a little quote, and I remember one by Honoré de Balzac that said, "Behind every great fortune, there is a crime." And as you were saying that, I thought about how Joseph Kennedy made his fortune as a bootlegger during Prohibition and used the money to further the ends of his family and his children, one of whom become president, obviously, John F. Kennedy. And, he was a senator, his brother Robert was a senator, Teddy was a senator for many, many years, and there are congressmen and all kinds. I'll have to say that family has used that wealth very well and for the benefit of many other people. I mean, Maria Shriver out there in California, who, certainly didn't deserve what she got with Arnold and the rest of it. But at the same time, I get your point. And I think it's a very good one. I also have to say that clearly this is a political ploy. Anything that Barack Obama can do to keep the news cycle off of his record, if he can, and this will do it for days, maybe as much as a week. There was a similar plan that was being developed in a bipartisan way in the Senate with Marco Rubio, and I don't remember who the Democratic senator is off the top of my head, but the whole idea of let's figure out a way to take care of this major problem that we have with illegal aliens. And if people are if you have two illegal aliens, and they're in the United States, and they have a child that's born here, that child, no matter what, is an American citizen. That's the way our law has been set up. And unless they change it, that's kind of the way that one's going to be. And, we are a nation of laws, and everyone is supposed to be under the law. The problem I see mostly with this is that this is an issue where the resolution constitutionally begins in Congress and not by legislative fiat by the president, who's the administrator. He is usurping Congress's power to do this, which frankly I think is illegal. And I either tomorrow or no later than next Tuesday. Tuesday's when Monday afternoon or Tuesday is when the decisions of the Supreme Court are announced. The whole Obamacare is going to be headline news because the Supreme Court, I suspect, is going to strike it down as unconstitutional for one very good reason. It's unconstitutional. Here's the thing, and this is what most people just don't get. We have inalienable rights. Where do these inalienable rights come from? You there?
Yes, I am. I was mesmerized by your conversation. I'm sorry.
Where do these inalienable rights come from?
The Constitution.
No. They're in the Constitution. Where are they derived from?
I guess I don't know.
Okay, this is very important. Our Creator. The rights come from our Creator. This is the American system. Your rights, the right to free speech, the right to religion, the right to bear arms, the right not to taking the Fifth Amendment where you don't have to testify against yourself. Those are all rights that come from the Creator. Our whole system is predicated upon the conviction that rights come from God. We have these rights because God has given them to us, and no man can take them away from us. That is what our whole system is based on. Now, when you throw the Creator out, then it's not based on anything other than the will of man. And the will of man just changes back and forth to where they believe one thing, you know, one decade, and the exact opposite the following decade. It doesn't matter. They end up, it becomes a complete mess. So what is happening here is that our whole system is changing, you know, based upon all of this stuff. We're just not the nation that we once were, and it's because we have thrown our belief, our conviction that our rights come from the Creator out the door. It's the foundation upon which every single thing is derived. Now, I'm glad that we're talking about this. What is another area that would be where the law is being changed completely? That would be marriage. Marriage, according to the Creator in our Judeo-Christian heritage, which is the one upon which we were founded, comes out of the book of Genesis, and it is a man and a woman. And they are joined. When they are joined, that's consummation. It's intercourse. And that is the foundation of a marriage. A marriage isn't complete until it's consummated. I mean, they have, you know, movies where, you know, some rich guy marries some woman and they don't consummate it, and so, you know, she ends up not getting the fortune that she had as a gold digger had, you know, intended to have. And, you know, there are all kinds of little things like this. Now, they want to abridge our inalienable rights and our foundation, which comes from our Creator, that is the foundation of Western thought, and say, okay, a man can be married to a man and a woman can be married to a woman, and it's right. The problem with it is that it doesn't come from that same tradition, which is the one that goes all the way back through American history to the Revolution, earlier than that, to the Puritans, and earlier than that, back to England and the Magna Carta. We are in one line, and the core of that is what holds us together as a society and makes us strong. Now, to our credit, in America, we have millions of people who get this, and when there is an initiative on a ballot that says, should marriage be between one man and one woman, it wins every time. It's been on, I think, 32 states, and they've won 31 or 32. I don't know that it's ever been. The only places that it's ever lost have been by when it's been a court that's made a ruling where they have said that, you know, gay marriage is fine. And now we have our socialist president, Barack Hussein Obama, who has come out in favor of this, which, of course, he's always been in favor of it. He just changed so that he could get the Democratic nomination away from Hillary Clinton in 2008, because if he'd been for the gay marriage, then he would have had one section of the Democrats.
Wasn't that in his book, too, back in the mid-90s, that he was in favor of gay marriage?
Yeah, I think so. It absolutely did. But here's the thing, and what I've been trying to, you know, discuss a little bit here today, is if the progressives had had a really, you know, the socialists essentially had a really strong man who was a principled liberal, the direction that they would have been able to take this country for so long would have been firmly planted. But because Obama is an unprincipled person, I mean, he is, you know, this whole thing with Fast and Furious, where Eric Holder is literally in contempt of Congress by, you know, they want 80,000 documents, and over the course of a year, they've let trickle out 10% of that. And he won't do it. They're going to vote on it, I think, in 2 days, and we'll see what happens. I suspect that the House of Representatives will vote for him to be in contempt. And if that happens, then we have a real mess on our hands. We have a real crisis, because you really, even if they don't get along, you want Congress and the president, you know, to at least be on the same team. But when you essentially have a lawsuit against the other, it really makes a mess. And you remember how bad it was during the Watergate era. I mean, it was, you know, very destructive. And, you know, as a result, we got Jimmy Carter and, you know, 22% inflation and gas lines and the nation held hostage by the Ayatollah Khomeini. And we didn't even have a helicopter that worked to rescue them. That's how badly he dismantled the military. And, of course, Barack Obama's doing the same thing right now. But we have trouble here with President Obama. He, you know, his viewpoints are so socialist on one sense, but they're not principled because he's not a person who does things honorably. And here's something that I wonder. It just feels like the momentum for him has finished, and people are finally paying attention to the, you know, to the fact that he's increased our debt by 60%. When he started, there were 26 million people that were on food stamps, which is way too many. But now there are 46 million people on food stamps. I mean, that's just horrific. I mean, what he's doing is creating a nation of dependent people. America is our part of our tradition that goes back to the inalienable rights, is that we are a people who are self-reliant, who want to take a chance, who are willing to gamble, to do what's right, to make things better. And now all of a sudden, that's not, you know, we're supposed to accept that we're in irreversible decline and weak and filled with people who can't do it. That's not America. That's not the America that we grew up with. Is that what we want? No. And people are saying, no, no, no. It's not going to work. He's not going to be able to win. And so he has to throw this out and that out and the other, because there's just no chance that people are not going to be taking a look at his record. And I've got one other thing. If he loses, do you think that there will be an investigation about who he was to begin with? That I'd say that I have no idea where he was born, but I do know that the birth certificate that he put out there really isn't real. What if he was born in Kenya and constitutionally wasn't able to even be president? Would that mean that his appointments for the Supreme Court would be null and void? What do you think?
I would think so.
I thought in his book,
his memoirs back when, that he actually said he was born in Kenya. That's what the book said.
He said that numerous times.
Yes.
He said that, you know, and Michelle said, you know, that he was, you know, that here I am in, you know, in Barack's, you know, homeland of Kenya. And, you know, and he took government funds, you know, as an Indonesian foreign student so that he could, you know, get into either Columbia or Harvard and use money. I mean, there's all kinds of things like that of where he, you know, has, you know, been a gamer in the system to try and, you know, to do the betterment. Very similar to this woman in Massachusetts who wants Scott's Brown seat, saying that she was
Elizabeth Warren, a Cherokee Indian.
In an effort to, you know, to make herself a minority, so that she could, you know, get into Harvard and teach there and, you know, be part of their diversity program, because she couldn't get it on her own. And now that she's running for Senate and being vetted, it's come out. And just like these things about Barack Obama have been coming out, when he ran in 2008, people just didn't vet him the way that they should. And the reason is because he's African American. You know, it just the fear of being called a racist for bringing up legitimate questions was so overwhelming in 2008 that people were unwilling to do it, and that they were cowed into not submission, but, you know, to back off from it and to just let things lie. Where now, after you know, his abysmal performance, you know, with the economy and with the unemployment never below 8% in his entire 4 years, nobody is willing to just sit back and say, well, we're going to give him a pass on things. It isn't happening, and it's not going to happen. And all over America, there are people that are on little radio programs like this. There are people on Facebook, and there are people on Twitter. And, the elite in the media are just in bed with Barack Obama, and they're not going to, be straightforward. But that's not where people are getting a lot of their news anymore, and they don't trust it. People are doing what we are doing now. They are talking among themselves, and there is this grassroots movement back to the values that made us great. Because you know what? We're not ready to throw in the towel and be wussified like the Europeans. The people that, I mean, it's true. We are strong and resilient, and I am grateful that Barack Obama has been so sleazy, because had he been principled, he would be much more difficult to not only beat, but his programs to be dismantled, that he has no character, that he is flawed to the core, and a narcissist, is the best thing that has ever happened to the American people, because in the decades that go by, when our time has passed, there will be the history will be saying, how could Americans have been so badly fooled by someone who was unqualified and who put himself up as something that he was not and could not even prove himself to be. Birth certificate, a real one, producing it. Not a PDF that's layered, that has been put together and thrown on a website that is obviously not correct. There are things in that that aren't true. And everything about who he is a lie, and based on lies. And the American people want to know. And all of his minions who drink the Kool-Aid, they are in retreat. They are not standing up for him the way they once were, even a few months ago. Why? They have no answer to why we have $6 billion in additional debt and the economy is a mess. And here we have Barack Hussein Obama, who says that the private sector is doing just fine, when any fool, all he has to do is walk out the front door and you see, and drive through town and you see places that are boarded up, businesses that are no longer in operation. It isn't working. It's not going to work. And this man is going down in defeat, and I'm sensing that it is going to be a colossal failure. He's doing everything he can. Your original question about throwing this out about the Hispanics, he's doing what he can to just keep little groups together to give him the base to win. He's got New York and Illinois and California. Those are big blocks. But he doesn't have anything in the South. He's got New England, but he doesn't have anything in the mountains, and the Midwest is going against him. At any rate, listen, this has been a great conversation, and
well,
thank you for calling me.
I appreciate your ideas and the thoughts of what this man is doing to this country is appalling. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, sir. And we will talk again on Jack Watt's Lot, broadcasting to you and saying goodbye and telling you that there are better times ahead, and God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.